You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
The burial confirms to us that Jesus actually, what? Died. He died and he was buried. He was buried and put into the ground. It showed us he was truly a man. It showed us he was truly dead. It showed us his body was protected by a tomb. It gives evidence to the bodily resurrection of Jesus.
The penalty for sin is death. God Almighty declared it so. Sin exists in every person. Yet, God cannot exist with sin. He is holy. However, in his great compassion and love, he made a way for man to be forgiven and not suffer the penalty his sin deserved. As Pastor Tom explains today, God had planned your redemption since the beginning. He sent Jesus to earth to live perfectly, to be killed on the cross as punishment for all sin, to be put in the tomb, and then to rise from the grave to appear to his followers. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as he continues his message, The Good News About Jesus.
The Bible says there is not one completely righteous man anywhere in the world, not one, except for him. And that's why only he can save you. And we have to believe and accept that gospel. Paul ends verse 2 with a warning. Basically, he says, I gave you this gospel, I preached it, you received it, you stand in it, you're saved by it, but you have to keep it. You can't believe in vain. That is, people that started to believe and then they walked away from it. You have to keep your faith to the end. That's what a true believer is. We've all seen people that they come down an aisle, you know, or they go to a Billy Graham crusade and they seem to get saved. Or maybe you had that earlier in your life and like you think you're saved because you did something in a religious service. But if you believe, God says your belief has to be the kind that you continue to believe. You continue to walk with God. Believe is in the present tense. That means you believe and you keep believing. It's not one time I believe, one time I did something nice, one time I sang in a choir. You know, it's no, I believe and I keep believing. And it's not your good works anyways that gets you to heaven. It's Jesus's work that gets us to heaven. Many people have professed Christianity. They've even been baptized. They've gone to church. But if you don't hold on to the gospel, if that's not your treasure, if that's not where your faith is, there's going to be no salvation for you in the end times. That's how important the gospel is. Now, what is the gospel? Second, the meaning of the gospel. Look at verse 3, would you? He talks about, I delivered to you as of first importance what I received. By the way, in the book of Galatians, he makes a big point that he did not receive this gospel from any other human being. He says, I got it directly from Jesus as a revelation from him. I received that gospel directly from Jesus, and I turned around and I delivered it to you. He said, I'm not a chef, I'm a delivery boy. I'm just the UPS man. I took the truth and I delivered it to you. And now you have it. That's all that I am. Now listen to it. Here's what it is. And it has four parts to it, or four components to it. Component number one, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That's part number one. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, died. This is the normal word for physical death, and it's in the past tense, so it's recording history. It was already accomplished by the time Paul even wrote this. Jesus was divine. Jesus was also human. So in his humanity, on that cruel Roman cross, he actually bled and died. The Muslims are wrong. The Muslims said he didn't die on the cross. They wrote 500 years after it happened, the people that were standing at the cross said he bled and he died. They even put a spear in his side to make sure that he was dead. He died on that cross. Now you say, what? I don't get the good news. A good man was killed on a cross? That sounds like bad news. That doesn't sound like good news. No. It does not say Christ died. Read the verse again. It says Christ died for what? For our sins. Say that with me. For our sins. That's the good news. Your sins, your ugly, miserable, rotten, stinking sins that you try to hide. I try to hide them also. We all try to hide them. We don't want anyone to find out about them. He knows them and he hates them. And yet he already died for them to forgive you. That's good news. You get it? Is that clear? He died for you. Man, you can't beat that. That's good news. That word for, if you want a little more technical understanding, is the Greek preposition huper. It means on behalf of. It means he died as a sacrifice, as a substitute for us. We should have gotten blasted by God. Instead, God blasted him with our sins. The penalty for sin, according to God, for one sin, the penalty for sin is what? Death. Physical death. That's why we die. Because our first father, Adam, sinned. And now we all die because he sinned. Bum deal, right? But we all are made alive, not because we did anything good, but because one man did something good, Jesus. That's a good deal, isn't it? Bum deal, good deal. Okay, that's how it is. In Adam, all die. In Christ, that is everyone in Christ, all are made what? Alive. That's how it is. But it's not just physical death. The Bible says if you don't turn away from your life of sin and come to Jesus, when you die, you will die in your sins. You will be in your sins, the position in your sins. Your sins will have you and own you. And you will die in that position. I had someone tell me, if God is true and Jesus is true, I'll receive him after I die. No, you won't get that opportunity. You'll die in your sins. You're locked in now. It's over. There's no chance after death. That's it. You heard. You had your chance. It's all over for you. You'll die in your sins. And then what will happen to you, the book of Revelation calls, is the second death. You wait, how could you die a second time? Yes, there's a second death, and it's not funny. That's called the lake of fire. And it says anyone who was not in Jesus was thrown into the lake of fire. That's in Revelation chapter 20. The death of Jesus fully paid for all sins of anyone who puts their confidence in Jesus, but not for anybody that refuses to come to Jesus. You live for yourself. You live for your own pleasure. There is no forgiveness of sins for you. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that means lawbreakers, Christ died for us. But there's more. It says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's plural, graphos. That even adds to the good news. You ask why? Because the facts of the gospel are not just facts of history. It was something that God planned. Jesus died for our sins according to a plan, according to the scriptures, according to prophecy. It was all laid out ahead of time that he was going to come into the world and he was going to offer his body as a sacrifice and he was going to save any who believe. And that's what he did. And so now we know it's all locked in. It's all guaranteed. This is the way it was supposed to happen. That adds to the good news. Jesus kept telling his disciples before he went to the cross, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. We're heading up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't want to hear it. After he was killed and after he rose from the dead and he appeared to them, it says, he said to them, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to his disciples all the things concerning himself that were written in the scriptures. It was all according to the scriptures. That's component number one. Component number two is in verse 4. And that he was buried. Jesus was buried. You ask, wait, is that part of the good news? He just said he was making known the gospel, right? And he said he was buried. So you know what I'm concluding up here? The burial is part of the good news. Do you ever share the burial with anybody when you go out witnessing? The good news is this, Jesus was buried. Actually, Paul lists the burial of Jesus as an essential piece of the gospel. Did you know that all four of the gospel accounts, all written in the first century, give careful and explicit detail to the burial of Jesus of Nazareth? We are told how Jesus died on the cross. We are told who took the body down from the cross. We are told who wrapped the body. We're told who prepared the spices. We're told exactly where they laid the body, who was present at the burial, the cloth they wrapped him in, the rock that they rolled in front of the tomb, who owned the tomb, the Roman seal put across the tomb to guard it, and the soldiers that stood guard at the tomb. Every detail Jesus was thapto. He was buried. He was a human being, and he was buried in a rock-solid rich man's tomb. The burial is important for this reason. The burial confirms to us that Jesus actually, what? Died. He died, and he was buried. He was buried and put into the ground. It showed us he was truly a man. It showed us he was truly dead. It showed us his body was protected by a tomb. It gives evidence to the bodily resurrection of Jesus. That's component number three. And now we crescendo to what we all want to talk about at Easter, right? And look at it. And so we've had two already, right? He died, he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. This is what Paul really accentuates in this entire chapter, this long chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus was raised. Egero is the verb. It's the normal word to refer whenever Jesus was talked about as raised from the dead, miraculously. Here, Paul uses the perfect tense of that verb. Yes, verb tenses matter in Bible interpretation. The perfect tense stresses the historical completion of the fact and the present reality due to that fact. In other words, Jesus was risen and he remains and stands risen to this day. It happened in the past, but the results continue all the way to today. He was not raised and then died again. That would be Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and that was an amazing sign, but the poor guy had to die a second time. That was Jairus' daughter. You know, she died early. Jesus had compassion, raised the little girl from the dead, but she had to grow older. We don't know what happened there. Maybe she died of something later, but she had to die, okay? Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. When we say he is risen, we mean he's alive in his body today. And we will see that body. In fact, just to belabor the point, the same body that died is the same body that was buried, is the same body that was raised out of the tomb and is alive today. The body that hung on the cross is the body buried, is the body that walked out of that tomb. There are many counterfeit Christian movements out there called religious cults. They seem to sound a little bit like Christianity, and they fool a lot of undiscerning people. One thing that the cults all have in common is they deny Jesus's bodily resurrection. They say, oh, he rose. You listen to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, he rose. How did he rise? Well, he rose in his spirit. Well, what did they do with the body? I guess they just threw it out back somewhere or something like that. That's not good news. How is that any different than any of us, right? When I die, my spirit, I'm told, is going to leave my body, and my body's going to go kaput. And I'm going to rise up in my spirit to go be with the Lord. How is that any different than anybody else? That's not good news. How do you even see that to know that that's good news? What is the good news in saying Jesus was raised spiritually if his body stayed dead? How would we know he defeated death? No, listen, Jesus was raised bodily, and he was raised bodily, notice, on the third day. It does not say 72 hours later. It says on the third day. So how does that work? The Jews, and this is common knowledge, counted any part of a day as a day. So Jesus was buried on Friday. It was towards the end of Friday, but before the sun set. So they count Friday. He remained in the tomb on Saturday. That's 2 days. And then he was raised very early on the third day, on Sunday. On the third day. Jesus even named the day that he would be raised, Matthew chapter 16, 21. From that time, it says, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He named the day. And that's amazing. He didn't just rise from the dead. He named the day he would be raised from the dead. The third day is Sunday. I say again, happy Sunday. Happy Easter. Dr. Grimaki wrote this: if Christ had been raised from the dead on the second, fourth, or any succeeding day, that would have been a remarkable, unprecedented achievement. But it also would have declared him to be a false prophet, because he named the day of his resurrection and he accomplished it on that specific day, the third day. All of this was predicted in advance also by the scriptures. David in Psalm 16:10 in the Old Testament, 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, said, as he spoke of his greater son, the Messiah to come, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One," that's the Messiah, "to undergo decay." Jesus was buried long enough to prove he was dead, but not long enough to allow what? Decay to set in. That's why it had to be the third day. Now listen, guys, some people are so confused about this resurrection thing, even though I feel like it's so clear, but they're so confused by this. I want to take a moment just to explain what the resurrection is not, okay? The resurrection is not the same thing as the immortality of the soul. When the Apostle Paul arrived in Athens and he spoke to all of the great Greek philosophers on Mars Hill, and he went on talking about things. If Paul had stood up and said, you know something, after Jesus died, his soul left his body and it went up into the spiritual places and it lived on forever, all of the Greek philosophers up there would have applauded and said, that's exactly what our philosophers believe. We believe in the immortality of the soul, that the soul lives on. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, God has furnished proof to all the world through a man whom he appointed as the judge of all the world, and he raised that man from the dead. Well, as soon as Paul said he raised his body from the dead, all of the educated men started sneering and jeering at him. Ah, that never happened. The immortality of the soul was something many of them believed in. Oh, we will all live on the immortality of our soul. That's not good news. Everybody believes that. This is the body is raised from the dead. That they could not accept. And that's what you have to accept to be a follower of Jesus. The resurrection is also not reincarnation. Yes, I have to bring this up. Reincarnation, if it were true, is a trapped cycle. Do you know what it is, right? It's just recycling human beings. They just keep coming back as something else. If you do bad, you come back as a what? A cow, you come back as a frog, God forbid, one of those insects in the backyard, something like that. You keep coming back and you have to suffer it again and again. How long? I don't know. How long ever it takes for you to reach perfection. That's a works-based thing. That is not good news. That is very, very bad news. And you're a human being. The only place you can go from here is down, right? You're going to come back lower as an animal. I got two gerbils. I would hate to be in a cage with the gerbils. Come back as a gerbil, you know? A dog would be low enough. But there's no hope in that. It's a cycle over. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Reincarnation is bad news. Resurrection is good news. Resurrection puts an end to all suffering. The resurrection is also not resuscitation. Resuscitation is when they take those two electronic things, I forget what they're called, and they put it on the guy's chest and it goes zomp, and the body goes like that, and the guy that's been dead for a few minutes or a few seconds, he comes back and oh, we see that blessed heartbeat again, right? And some of them have written books about what they saw when their spirit left their body and they started floating down the hallway and they heard the nurses talking about them. That poor guy just died in room 13. And they come back and they say, I'm not dead, I'm back in the body. and they had a resuscitation because they weren't brain dead. They were around for a while. They went up to the fifth floor of the hospital. They went down and saw the people in the snack room. I don't know what they did, but they never made it to heaven. They were resuscitated. Resurrection is dead, 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 brain dead, dead. I don't know how to say dead better than that. Do you have a better way of saying dead better than that? He was dead, and then he was brought back to life. That gives me hope, because that's where my body's going to be one day. This, guys, is the greatest news ever. If you give any thought at all, philosophically, to the predicament of human beings on this planet, you'd have to say, wouldn't it be great if someone solved this death problem? You know, you get in a car accident and you try to make sure you have good insurance to take care of this car problem, right? You get a toothache and you go to a dentist and hope they're going to take care of your tooth problem. Why don't people turn to the expert to take care of their death problem? Because Jesus can take care of your death problem, and nobody else can. Don't hold back. Don't hold yourself from him because you're too proud. Don't say, look, I want to live my life my own way. You're not going to get to live your life your own way. You're going to die, and it's all over then. It's better to admit you're wrong now. Join the rest of us. By the way, this room is filled with a lot of people that admitted they were wrong. You know, we blew it. We sinned. I could tell you about my sins, but I don't really want to. You ask my mother, she'll tell you about my sins. We're all sinners here. Some of you may have indulged in gross sexual sins. Some of you may have done something very embarrassing. Some of you may just, you don't want to let go of what your mother and your grandfather told you that was different than what you heard today. You know, you got to let go of that. And you got to come to Christ. You have to come to him to receive life. And when you receive life from him, then you have everlasting life. There's a fourth component to all of this that it really goes on to talk about in the rest of the chapter, and we don't have time for it. And that is, the fourth component of the good news is that Jesus appeared. We don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus merely because there was an empty tomb. That's a good start. But we believe it because Jesus on that very day appeared to the women. First to a woman, by the way, which is a very bad idea if you're in a male-dominated society that doesn't even accept the testimony, the legal testimony of women, that your first eyewitness is going to be a woman. But Jesus gave that privilege to a woman who cared for him deeply, Mary Magdalene, and she was the first eyewitness to see him. She thought he was a gardener at first. She wasn't even anticipating a resurrection, right? And there he says, Mary, and immediately she recognizes his voice and says, Rabboni, that is teacher. And she clings to him, and he says, stop clinging to me. I'm going to ascend to my Father, but go and tell the brethren. And then he appeared to that group of women we'd read about in the Gospel of Matthew. Women, to begin with. Women believed it before men did. Very bad idea if you're trying to make up a story and win people to Jesus in a male-dominated society to start with women witnesses. Very bad idea. But the story starts that way because that's the true story. And the women sometimes were more insightful about truth, and Christ appeared to them. Then he appeared to the men, and the men saw him. And there was one man, Thomas, say I bear his name. And he's really known as what? Doubting Thomas, right? And he said, because the other 10 got to see him and he didn't, and he said, unless I put my finger in his nail mark, unless I put my hand in the side where the spear pierced him, I will not believe. Jesus appeared to him and told Thomas, stop your doubting and believe. And you say, well, I wish that I had the opportunity that Thomas had. Well, you don't. But what he said after he spoke to Thomas was, blessed are those who have not seen, never seen, and still what? Believe. That's your blessing. Thomas didn't get that. And so you can believe today, and you can have everlasting life. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That was good.
Today, Pastor Tom made clear the gospel story, which is indeed good news. Jesus made the way for man to be forgiven and able to stand in the presence of holy God. Christ died for your sins as a substitute, according to Scripture. He fully paid the price for the cost of sin. He was put in the grave, proving that he was indeed dead. He was miraculously raised from death, and he appeared to his followers who spread this good news. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. Will you receive the truth of the good news you heard today? Will you believe in your heart and surrender your life to the Savior who died to save you? On this Easter Sunday, don't hold back. Don't resist the truth of the gospel. It is the greatest news you will ever hear. There is no other way to be saved except to believe in Jesus. Only Christianity provides victory over death. And without the resurrection, there is no hope. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.